There are many doctrines in the church that are clear, like the Sabbath, the law. There are some concepts that are not clear, like the Holy Spirit or the spirit world. Here's the question. What is the least understood and most difficult to apply scriptural doctrine that we follow in the church today? Since this is a split sermon, we have time, so I'll give you 5 seconds to answer that question. So, the least understood and most difficult to apply. So, what is the least understood and most difficult to apply scriptural doctrine that we follow in the church today? Tithing. Would anyone have guessed that? The title of the message is Tithing in the Church Today. And I'd like to review tithing as it is applied in the church today. As usual, I have a disclaimer. I am not offering tithing advice. Matter of fact, I'm trying to keep my opinions out of it. I'm not questioning the church, not questioning the ministry, not questioning individuals. Offering food for thought. I'm not distinguishing between first, second, or third tithe. And I'm not talking about third tithe administration. But I am talking about as it's applied in the United States to us. How important is tithing to God? Now, we know these scriptures I'm going to use up front, so I'm just going to blow right through them and read them for you. Malachi 3, verse 8 and 9. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. In fact, we have heard that scripture read recently here. Deuteronomy 26, verse 12 and 13. He's talking about third tithe here. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Then you shall say to the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. Tithing is, the tithe is holy. Tithing is commanded. Okay, so God takes tithing seriously. Why do I say this is the least understood concept? Isn't tithing really a simple concept? I want to read 1 Leviticus, verse 32. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Verse 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. The definition of the word translated tenth is tenth. And the word translated for tithe is one-tenth or a tenth part. And thus, obviously, referring to agricultural produce and livestock. Well, for them, that was their business activity at the time. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your gain that the field produces year by year. Okay, it's on the increase, and that word will be used later, as you will see. So, the tithe is holy to God, and tithing is fairly simple. As I said, it's just one-tenth. This concept has worked for thousands of years. Well, it's still working today for some members in the church. For instance, if you were a subsistence farmer in Africa. Now, there are only 30 verses in the Old Testament that contain the word tithe, and they don't provide any more fundamental information about calculating tithes than we have already seen. There are only 7 verses in the New Testament. Well, in fact, Matthew and Luke refer to the same incident, so there are only 6 verses in the New Testament. Now, instead of reading those verses, I want to refer to this Life, Hope, and Truth article. In fact, this article is referred to by other articles on tithing, on Life, Hope, and Truth. And I'll read part of the section called Tithing in New Testament Times. In New Testament times, Jesus Christ, the Savior, upheld the importance of tithing when he declared, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe on mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." It's Matthew 23, verse 23. The Apostle Paul followed the same teaching when he described the need for the New Testament ministry to live off the gospel. "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple? And those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." It's 1 Corinthians verse 9, of chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. So God's tenth provides funds for the preaching of the gospel and for the sustenance of those who are ministers of the gospel. You see. And who wrote this? Oh, Mr. Eric Evans. All right. So if it's rather straightforward and simple, why is it complicated? Why do I say it's complicated? One reason is that we live in a monetarily based economy. We earn money and we pay tithes with money. I'll give you a really trivial example. I have a Discover card. All right? When I charge things on the Discover card, Discover gives me money. They put it in a little account. I can withdraw that money. I can buy a credit discount cards with it. I could give it to charity or whatever and Discover. But anyway, it's money they would give me. If Discover gives me this money, is that a gift? It wouldn't be tithable. Wait a minute. Is Discover paying me to use the card? That would be tithable. But of course, I bought something from the merchant who gave the money to Discover, and Discover gave me the money. Is not out a discount on what I bought from the merchant originally? Let me tell you, the subsistence farmer in Africa does not have any problems like that. He doesn't have a Discover card. All right. But it's primarily complicated because the church has made administrative judgments about what is commonly referred to as tithing on the net. Now, if you can afford to tithe on gross, that's that big number at the top of your pay stub, it's still simple. You're doing it just like the Israelites did it. However, I coined these next two little phrases here. They sound real good. Okay. Nonetheless, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong saw in the 70s, maybe earlier, that governments had become so intrusive and confiscatory that the church needed to make adjustments to the level of tithing required. It was to provide relief from and balance between national tax systems in an effort to mitigate the impact of excessive taxes. He did not want us to go broke, and he particularly if you were in some of the international countries. Okay. But that decision was made over 45 years ago. Most of us were not in the church at that time. A lot of us were young. All right, since a lot of us are not young, we don't remember what was said about it 45 years ago. Now, I tried to research Mr. Armstrong's writings, as was recommended. There is a ton of his information out on the web. I could not even make it very far in the ministerial newsletters that he put out at that time. So I did not get very far on that, but it really doesn't matter, as we will see. If you were to ask the church today for a definitive written statement about tithing calculations, you would be told there isn't one. In fact, I had a conversation with Dr. Tom Kirkpatrick a few years back. As we know Tom Kirkpatrick as a longtime minister in the church. He is Dr. Tom Kirkpatrick because he has a PhD in accounting. And he was asked by the church to write a definitive booklet on tithing. Okay, we're going to make it simple for the brethren. He told him he couldn't because it is not a definitive subject. It is not that simple. However, we have to have some kind of a reference, at least I do, to get through this thing, all right, besides the scriptures. I will be using this little blue book, all right? This is the tithing booklet put out by the Worldwide Church of God, published in, I know, but I'm going to turn there to show you that I know, 1975. All right. This was during Mr. Armstrong's era, but it was not written by Mr. Armstrong, by the way. All right. That is probably the last and most authoritative, widely distributed statement on church policy. All right. And we're going to refer to that. Now, my wife and I have had correspondence with Mr. Britton Taylor about tithing. We had some questions about Social Security, actually. But nonetheless, my wife knows him. They went to Ambassador College at the same time. So we have communicated with him, and I have a certain amount of brief correspondence from him. So we will also use that correspondence as reference as we go forward here, since he is the treasurer presently of COGWA. All right. Do we know what tithing on the net really means? Net of what? You know, some people do pay tithes on their gross pay income. It's a big number at the top. Others actually tithe on the net on that pay stub, which is that little bitty number down at the bottom. Okay? Tithing on the net the same as take-home pay? Let's see what we can figure out here. I would like to look at some specific examples of items on your pay stub that theoretically could be deducted when calculating tithable income. So get rid of that before you figure out how much tithes you owe. But remember, there's two sides to this equation. One is, what do you deduct from tithable income before you calculate your tithes? The other is, what do you pay tithes on when you receive income? All right. So let's look at federal income tax first. That will be the biggie to most people. Okay, so I'm going to refer to the tithing booklet and read some excerpts out of that. In the time of Samuel, the people demanded a king. And he, the king, will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. 1 Samuel 8:15. This tenth or tithe would actually be a form of taxation. This would be over and above the tithe paid to God. They would still owe God his tithe. It was holy, as set apart for his exclusive use. Another obvious conclusion is that God's prior claim came first, and no matter what man-made form of government or humanly devised tax system was imposed. Okay, and that's all it says until you get to chapter 7. There's only 7 chapters in this book, and that's the only thing it said about taxes. Until you get to chapter 7, which is the questions chapter. All right. Okay, let's look at now another excerpt from the tithing booklet. And this is from the questions section and at the end of the booklet. And the question is, I am on salary. How do I determine my tithe in terms of this productive effort? And the answer is, basically a wage earner calculates his tithe as 10% of his income. Of course, the question immediately arises, do I figure the tithe before or after taxes? Well, I don't know why that question immediately arises, but they obviously have it in here because that's what they were working on at the time. There is no recorded indication that the tithe, which belongs to God, should be figured in any new or different manner. So the church today has no strict precedent for deciding that all taxes withheld from salaries are deductible prior to figuring the tithe. The biblical record is silent on the matter. An overall biblical example is, every man shall give as he is able. Many should be able to comfortably tithe on their gross income and give generous offerings besides. Others with very large families to support, perhaps a very modest income, and other financial burdens may figure the tithe on their net income with tax amounts deducted first. Such persons should not feel guilty about using this alternate method. I'll repeat that last part because that's important and we may not come to it again. If you don't have it, such persons should not feel guilty about using this alternative method. Now, but that only mentions taxes, and it doesn't define taxes. All right. So let's see what Mr. Taylor had to say. And I asked him the question, in regards to Social Security, but I asked the question, what is allowed to be netted out of income when tithing on the net? Just FIT and Social Security, Medicare, da-da-da-da. Okay. And his answer is federal taxes and FICA. That is, federal taxes and Social Security is what he says could be netted out of your income before you calculate your tithes. And here he specifically says, and we're talking about federal income tax here, he specifically says federal taxes. All right? Now, I'll put a footnote in here. You might pay careful attention as I read these things because you may or may not agree with them. All right? And particularly pay attention to some of the terminology, the names, the amounts that they use in conjunctions with other deductions, and you may not agree, or you may agree. Okay. Now, excluding federal income tax is not scriptural. But in some ways it's logical if you think about it. It is true. Taxes are exorbitant. They pay, federal taxes pay for warfare and welfare, if you think about it. Okay, it also pays for the big interest payment on prior warfare and welfare. All right. You know, if you really wanted to get complicated about this, if you're the accountant type, okay, everybody's eyes just kind of glassed over at that point. But if you're the accountant type, you know, if God allowed Saul to get 10%, maybe you should only deduct everything in federal income taxes over 10%, all right? Nobody jumped right on that detail. All right. Let's move on to Social Security then, FICA. And this is what it has to say about that. What about income received in the form of welfare, Social Security, pensions, union funds, etc.? Is such income to be tithed upon? Now, these are one of those cases where you think about the things that they're saying and they're put together here. What about income received in the form of welfare, Social Security, pensions, da-da-da-da? Here's the answer. The same overall principle can be applied to all types of welfare income or regular assistance programs. When no productive effort on the part of the recipient has taken place, no tithes are required. No productive effort on the part of the recipient has taken place, no tithes are required. Other sources of income in this category are unemployment, okay, disability insurance, okay, Medicare, we'll get to that later. Okay. Nonetheless, it is saying Social Security, form of welfare income, and you can deduct that before paying your tithes. What is Mr. It doesn't say that, pardon me. What it says is those are welfare-type payments. Okay. Let's see what Mr. Taylor had to say about Social Security. And again, what we just read from the tithing booklet was about income. Remember, there's two sides to this equation. It was saying Social Security or other welfare payment income. Okay, you don't have to pay tithes on welfare income. Okay. Now, what does Mr. Taylor have to say? Then I pose the question to him, you know, okay, let me back up and rephrase this easily. I told you this is hard. You know. Mr. Taylor said above that you can deduct Social Security from your tax before calculating tithes. Okay, so you can deduct that before you calculate your tithes. We just read, though, that if you receive Social Security income, you don't necessarily have to pay tithes on that. Wait a minute. That's both sides of the equation here. Now, do you pay tithes on your income that went into Social Security? Do you pay tithes when you withdraw from Social Security? All right. Let's read some more of Mr. Taylor's comments. This is on the other side now. It is my understanding. I didn't finish reading his first comment. Okay. This is his statement. From my perspective, a large number of our members do tithe on their Social Security retirement checks, many for the reasons that you, me, mentioned. In other words, if you follow what we've read so far, you can remove from both sides of the equation. And he says, well, a lot of people realize that, and that's why they pay tithes on their Social Security income. Now, but here's another excerpt from his material. This is on the other side. It is my understanding the judgment regarding this, you know, tithing on the net, is based on the fact that Social Security and Medicare taxes that are taken from our checks have usurped the role of the third tithe. When the church gives members assistance from the assistance fund, the member is not required to pay tithe on the assistance or third tithe they receive. Social Security benefits are reviewed in the same manner as welfare, all right, when you receive it, or as church assistance. Okay. But you did put into it, okay, contribute to it. But then I took another excerpt out of this later on. He said this about contributions to Social Security. Even though the employer pays half, that is money that the employer budgets for employee compensation and would pay it to the employee if the employer did not have to send it to the government. Employee compensation. I told you this was going to get complicated, didn't I? You know? And now you know why I feel like I've been talking to lawyers and politicians and trying to do this all week. All right. But again, you know, we have to make our own decision. So what we've seen so far concerning Social Security, there's three ways you could handle it. You don't pay tithes going in, you don't pay tithes coming out. You pay tithes on the income that you put in, and you don't when it comes out. You deduct it, calculating your tithes when it goes into Social Security, and you pay tithes when it comes out. Would you believe there's a fourth way? I was talking to this lady, and, you know, we were talking about this, and she said she paid tithes when she contributed to Social Security. And then a couple of minutes later in his comments, she says, and I tithe when I take it out. I said, wait a minute, you tithe on both sides. And she says, I know, that's my way of making offerings. That's an approach. If you want to really get complicated about Social Security, think about inflation, or nowadays, deflation. The first dollar you put in Social Security is not the same value as the last dollar you put into Social Security. The first dollar you get out of Social Security is not the same value you, the last dollar you get out of Social Security, much less the dollars you put into Social Security. And for us old folks, here's something to think about. If you don't tithe on Social Security income, you know, when you get your Social Security checks, where does your feast funds come from? If you're trying to live on Social Security, good luck. All right. Retirement accounts. You know, we saw retirement accounts mentioned. Let's read what Mr. Taylor had to say about that. A judgment was made by the church years ago that retirement income from bona fide retirement vehicles would not be viewed as coming under the tithing system. This would pertain to income received from Social Security, pensions, 401k, 403b, retirement benefits. Okay, if you receive these, this is on the income side, you receive income from these, you would not have to pay tithes on those. All right. Now, if you pay tithes when you put it into one of these accounts, remember that 401ks, you know, a lot of people have 401ks, and when you retire, you usually convert them to IRAs, okay? And a lot of people would contribute money to these. And on the contribution side, you could pay tithes on that. And when you pull it out, you would only pay tithes on your increase in that thing. Okay. If you're one of these people tithing on tithing on take-home pay, that little number down at the bottom, you have already, you know, netted out your contribution to your IRA. Let's say IRA. And then when you take it out, we just read, you don't have to pay tithes when you take it out. You know, some of these IRAs have hundreds of thousands of dollars in them. If you're not careful, you will never have paid tithes on those. But I'm not putting my 2 cents worth in there. That's your call on this. But most people who have these accounts do realize they need to pay tithes on that. And they only pay tithes when they pull it out. You know, that's the simplest way to do it, even though we just read, you know, you don't have to pay tithes when you pull it out. But that's bookkeeping-wise. Plus, that gives you tithes in retirement that you wouldn't have otherwise. Pension. Now, this one threw me. You read that, you know, bona fide retirement accounts and pensions are not tithable when you receive this pension income. Well, normally you didn't put anything into the pension. Pensions are funded by the company. That's a retirement benefits that build up over the, and you didn't contribute to those. So it's saying when you pull that out, you would not necessarily have to pay tithes on it. But those are company funded, and the amount that you get is based on years of service and salary level. So to say that, depending on working, all right? So to say you don't owe tithes on that, I'll let you think that one through. All right. Where are we? Oh, Medicare. Now, Medicare was not listed as one of the items you should deduct from deduct when calculating your tithes. And the tithing booklet said that Medicare income would not be tithable. But you don't normally think of Medicare as income, do you? It's more like a prepaid medical insurance plan. And Medicare was not listed as something you could deduct. Is not listed as something you could deduct when you're calculating your tithes. If you do deduct Medicare from your tithe calculation, it's really hard to tithe on Medicare payments when it comes out because it just doesn't work that way. All right. And I'm really happy to get through that. Now, where does that leave us? Beside with a headache. All right. Let's read from the tithing booklet. What is your overall policy on the administration of tithing with regard to what monies to tithe upon? The primary policy of the Worldwide Church of God on tithing administration is this. The individual must make his own decisions in all these matters before his God on the basis of general principles and guidelines set forth by the Bible and administered by the church. So guess whose problem it is. All right. Let's look at, and I was surprised at the book because it took a very soft approach. You know, you think back in the 70s, you know, things were pretty strict and you thought it would have been a lot harder nose than this, but it really is a very soft approach. As a matter of fact, two of the seven chapters are just about giving, you know, are not specifically about tithing. Let's read this. This is from the tithing book as well. It depends on one's individual financial circumstances. That is tithing on the net that we're talking about. It depends upon one's individual financial circumstances. Some of us have to shoulder financial burdens that others do not. With every nation having its own tax laws, there is no possible way for the church to make a definitive and equitable decision applicable to everyone in the matter of tithing before or after taxes. Such should be a very personal, private matter between the individual and his God, knowing he can never be in God's kingdom unless he is truly a generous, giving, serving, sharing Christian. And that was not nearly in your face like I thought it would have been from the 70s. Let's look at what Mr. Taylor had to say. If you really get confused and wind up shorting God on your tithes, try this. So when the judgment was made, it was also stated that generous offerings would be greatly appreciated as the net tithe ruling was made. In other words, if you're short, then just cover it like that. I mentioned Dr. Kirkpatrick before. It's part of this conversation I had with him. At the end, he says, decide what you're going to do and stick with it. Now, to me, that what that meant was, you know, you use these principles. You decide what is you can do, what you should do before God, and don't change it. If you change it, then you're playing games, you know, unless you figure out you were wrong and you want to do that. But if you decide you're going to flop around about it, then you're playing games. And if you fudge in the area of tithes, will you be fudging in other areas? I wanted to read this scripture. Deuteronomy 26, verse 14. After using the third tithe properly, God says, after this individual had used his third tithe properly, he says to God, I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, not given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that you have commanded me.
in other words.
Make sure you got it right and do what you can. Now, in conclusion, okay, did you figure out what tithing on the net was? You know, that's tithing on the net is not found in this booklet. That phrase is not found in the booklet. Taxes are really only mentioned really in one place in Scripture, you know, other than Christ said, you know, give to Caesar what's his. Tithing on the net might have been one of those little things that 45 years ago, you know, that phrase was coined and it just kind of got a life of its own. And when we get down here today, people are comfortably tithing on the net, not knowing what that is. All right? So here's the conclusion. Tithing is important to God. It is a commandment. Now, the church has made administrative judgments to reduce the amount of tithable income due to because of confiscatory taxing by the world's government. The tithing system was not intended to make us poor. To demonstrate, its purpose is to demonstrate to God that we recognize the origin of all we have. It gives us a chance to be part of the greatest work on earth, spreading the gospel and preparing the bride of Christ.